Well, good morning, everyone, on this beautiful Monday morning. Welcome to Coffee and the Word. We have been talking about the word new and how God is a God that loves to do new things in our lives. You know, He's the God that never changes. The Bible says, I am the Lord God. I change not. But He is all about the business of us changing and becoming new creatures in and through Him and new creations. And so as we've been talking the last few Coffee in the Words about the word new and about the fact that God wants to do a restoration process in our lives, I was so excited last week when He showed me that the word new in the Bible, the Greek word for new is K-U-I-N-O-S, because I think a lot of times with new, we think it's something brand new that doesn't have anything to do with the old. But God was showing me in the fact that the Greek word kunos actually means that He restores, He takes the old and does a restoration process, bringing about something new. And so we talked last week about how it's really a lot like stripping away the layers of paint from an old piece of furniture that may have been discarded. Maybe that piece of furniture was sent to Goodwill. And if you ever found a treasure like that really it looked old and beat up and of no value, and then you begin to strip away the old. I was thinking about artwork and how many times a great piece of art is discovered, it's been discarded, and even someone may have painted over it. And so as they lovingly restore this piece of art, it becomes this priceless jewel in the hands of the person that's doing the restoration. And so that's what God does in our lives. And sometimes it's something brand new He's doing, but many times it's that restoration process to strip away the junk that has piled up and accumulated over the years in our lives just through life circumstances, choices that we've made, and paths that we've taken. So today, I was praying over the weekend actually about what else about new. What do we need to know about new? Because this conference coming April 20th is going to be the Power of New, and it's going to be a power packed because we know that God wants to do a new thing. He says from Leviticus all the way to Revelation, behold, look, see, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not recognize it? Do you not perceive it? He says in Isaiah, I will even make a way in the wilderness, and I will make rivers in the desert. So that's one of my foundational scriptures that I know that I hang on to. And if you hear me speak often, you'll hear me talk a lot about that scripture. So this weekend I begin to ponder, what are the roadblocks in our lives that keep us from moving into the new or receiving the new thing that God's trying to do? And the first thing that came to me was fear. And I thought about fear and how often in our lives people would rather hang on to the old because it's familiar and somehow even feels safe rather than moving into the new. And immediately I begin to think about women and children that have been abused and how statistically a child would rather stay with an abusive parent than go to a safe place because it's familiar. It's what they've always known. Even if it's not good, there's that fear in them that says, how do I know the new is going to be any better than the old? How do I know it's not going to be worse? And then I'm going to be separated from this parent, the only thing I've ever known. The same thing with abused spouses. And I've never been physically abused, but I've certainly been in mentally abusive situations. And I found myself in those situations that were very difficult and untenable, partly because I knew God wanted me to stay for a season. I was praying and believing for change. But I also know that for me, a lot of it was that it was more difficult to go into the new than it was to stay with what was familiar. And so I think many times in the call of God on our life, it's the same thing with us. It's so familiar to be where we are, even if it's not comfortable, even if we don't like it, even if it's not the best for us. Many times it's so comfortable for us. It's what we've always known. And so because of fear, we choose to stay stuck and stay where we are instead of moving out. So many times we're just afraid we're going to make a mistake. We're just afraid. What if I'm not hearing God? What if this isn't Him? What if I make a fool out of myself? I don't know. Am I the only one that ever thinks those thoughts? What if it doesn't work out? What if I go and tell people that God has given me this and then it never comes to pass? Well, the first thing that I know about fear is that courage is the antithesis to fear. It's the thing that we must have to counteract fear, because fear feelings and fear thoughts will come into our minds. And we know that indeed the battle is in the mind. So Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you, and He will not leave you, nor will He forsake you." And then Jeremiah 1:3-9, he says, "I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on a land that I have given you. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses." And we know that He is talking to Joshua, and He says, "I will not fail you, and I will not abandon you." But I believe that even though He was saying that to Joshua, I believe He's also saying that to us today. Be strong and of good courage. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. I'm the one who goes with you. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I promise you that I will not fail you and I will not abandon you. And then He says, "Be strong and courageous, for you're the one who will lead these people to possess the land." So I think many times God's moving us out into new, and He's asking us to be courageous and to be strong, because many times the new that He wants to do in our lives really isn't about us as much as it is about all of those people that are influenced by us and influenced by our lives. And I've always heard it said, you're leading someone somewhere. Many times people say, "Well, I'm just not a leader." Yes, you are. You're leading someone somewhere, because there are people in your world. You have a sphere of influence that people are, you're either leading them toward a fabulous future, the good, the pure, the powerful, the positive, or you're leading them into difficulty, bondage, despair. I mean, they're watching us. They're watching us. Our lives are on a lamppost, and many times we put ourselves there. So I feel a great responsibility myself to be strong and very courageous. And then He says, "Be careful to obey all of the instructions I've given you." And so, you know, a lot of times I want to get out and jump in, and I want to do it without the instruction manual. Have any of you ever tried to put something together without reading the instructions? Yesterday, I came home from my trip, and I had a new office chair. I had ordered it online. My old office chair had broken. And I ordered this new office chair. For those of you that know me, you know it had to be zebra. And it's the coolest looking office chair, but it has no arms, no legs, no base. None of it's been put together. And I'm standing here right now in my living room looking at it in the floor. It's in pieces. And last night I began to pull things out thinking I might try to put it together, and then I began to laugh because I hadn't even looked at the instruction sheet. And there I stand trying to figure out how the pieces go together. And God quickened my spirit, and He said, "That's how you live with me, you little independent thing." You know, He loves the fact that we're strong and courageous, but He also wants us to be dependent on Him. So without reading the instruction manual, our lives will stay in pieces, much like this chair that I'm looking at now. But when we read the instruction manual, and it tells us to put this piece here, and to do this with this, and to take this step, and to go in this direction, then we can know that the God who goes with us is instructing us all along the way. So He says also, "Do not deviate from my instructions, neither turn to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do." Interesting. Many times we want to be successful in everything we do by giving Him a nod, by simply going to church on Sunday and praying a prayer. But then He says, "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So that's Joshua 1:3-9. So he's promising Joshua that he is going to go possess the land that God has shown him, that he will not fail, that God is going to be with him. He tells him twice to be strong and courageous, but he also says, follow my instructions, read my word, study on it day and night, and then you will prosper and succeed in all that you do. It's so important that we know that's where we get our strength, and that's where our courage comes from. You know, I hear people talk a lot about self-confidence. I've always been a person that had a lot of self-confidence, and it's gotten me a lot of great things in life, but it's also gotten me in some trouble, because anytime you have self-confidence and you're relying more on self than you are on God confidence, you know, I've made some decisions because I was overly self-confident that really led me down a path or two that I really did not need to go on, paths that were not God's best for my life. So today I want to encourage all of us to focus in on God confidence more than self-confidence, knowing that the God who of the universe is going before us to prepare a way. He's making a way in the wilderness. He's making rivers in the desert. He loves you. He's got a good plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And so we know these things. We know these things, but many times we forget because we begin to lean more onto our own understanding and our own strength than on his understanding and his strength and his wisdom. So today we move from the self-confidence into God confidence. We move from thinking we know what to do and we can handle it into saying, you know what, God, I'm believing that you're going to give me clear direction. I'm believing you're going to give me wisdom, and I'm believing that you're going to empower me to be able to accomplish this. So it becomes about him and not about us. And there is such a peace in that. There's such a peace in that. When you know that, you know what, in and of myself, I'm not able. In and of myself, I don't have everything it takes. In and of myself, I can get derailed and I can get sidetracked and I can get overwhelmed. But I'm not in and of myself anymore. It doesn't have to just be me anymore. Because the God of the universe says that he is going with me. He has already gone before me and prepared a way. And then he says in the book of Joshua, I will not fail you. That is something we can be confident in. We have a God confidence. In Isaiah 41:10, he says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed when you look around you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In Isaiah 41:13, he says again, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand, and I say to you, do not fear. I will help you. Isaiah 54:4, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. You will forget the shame of your youth. You will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. And then Psalm 56:3-4, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. In your word I praise, in you I trust, I will not be afraid. And Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? And so there are over 300 scriptures throughout God's word that addresses fear. And when I think about that, I realize that God knew that we would struggle with this. He knew that we would feel the feelings of fear. But I love what Joyce Meyer says. She says, feel the fear and do it anyway. Feel the fear and do it anyway. And so when I feel inadequate and I feel unable and I know that all my weaknesses, and you know the enemy loves to remind you of all the things you're not and all the things you can't do. But if you have been joining me for coffee in the Word now for a while, you heard the message God gave me on who do you think you are. If you know who you are in Christ, then all of those voices in your head telling you everything you're not, everything you can't do, all the reasons why you'll fail, you can combat those with all the things you are in him because of Christ. And he says, I have come to dwell in you and to live among you. He is in us and he is with us. And if he has given you an assignment or he has given you a task, then you are well able to perform it because the God of the universe has already gone before you. He has gone ahead of you, and he has made a way in your wilderness, and he has made a river in your desert. I love the way he operates. You know, the world disqualifies us when we make a certain number of mistakes. You know, in the game of baseball, it's 1, 2, 3 strikes. Baby, you're out. But in God's kingdom, he knew every bad decision we would ever make before we made it. He knew every failure we would have before we ever lived it. He knew every weakness we had before he called us. And I believe that he uses us to do his work in this world because he knows our imperfections. He knows our weaknesses. And he knows everything about us. I believe he chooses us because he knows that he will get the glory and he will get the praise, because people will look at our lives and they will say, how could anything like that have come out of her? How could any of this have ever happened, knowing what you were like a year ago, knowing what you were like 2 years ago or 3 years ago? So today, when the enemy tries to bring up your past and tries to dig up all the things you're not, I want to encourage you, go back to your notes from Who Do You Think You Are. Go back into the Bible if you weren't in on those lessons, and go find out who you are in Christ and begin to speak those things back. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have the mind of Christ, and I hold his thoughts, his purposes, and his intents. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. And all of these scriptures that you've implanted in your heart, when all the doubt and the fear tries to rise up in you, you can speak those words of faith back out loud into the atmosphere. And I believe it will build you up. I believe it will encourage you. And I believe you will walk forward into that future with the God confidence, knowing that he who began a good work in you will perfect it. You see, we think we are the ones that have to perfect it. That's my big issue. I can tell you that right now. I'm a doer, man, and if I'm not doing, I feel like something's wrong. But sometimes God says, be still and know that I am God. Learn from me. My yoke is light. My burden is not heavy. So if today you're on this call or listening to the sound of my voice and you feel a heaviness, you feel that yoke, that is not the yoke that God has given you. His yoke is light. His burden is easy. And he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I have a plan for you. I have a specific purpose for you. Just begin to move out into the new with the courage, knowing that the God of the universe is with you and he's already gone before you to prepare a way. I'm excited about the restoration, that God is stripping away the old. He's stripping away the junk of our lives to reveal this treasure in this earthen vessel that we are. And I pray today that you will have such a powerful day, that you'll have a powerful impact on the people that you are in communication with. I know, you know, every day we have challenges, every day we face doubts, but the key is, guys, feel the fear, but then begin to speak the word to combat the fear and move out in faith and encourage in spite of it. Feelings can lie. And years ago, I heard this an acronym for the word fear. It is false evidence appearing real. Many times the very things that we fear will never come to pass. In the book Living, Isaiah 30:18, it's almost 3 years now since God woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I heard a voice. Now I know it was his voice saying, write a book. And in 4 hours, this message of hope came pouring out onto the page that is Living, Isaiah 30:18. And I remember in the book that God had me put a section in there about, obviously about fear. And I remember when my son Michael Bailey was a little boy, he was so afraid of getting a shot. And every time we would have a doctor's appointment, whether it was a physical or something was wrong, for days, if he knew he was going to the doctor, or for hours, he'd say, "Mama, do you think I'm going to get a shot? Mama, am I going to get a shot? Mama, do you think he's going to give me a shot?" And he would literally make himself physically ill, nausea, couldn't concentrate. He would literally be sick to his stomach from the fear that he might get a shot. And do you know many times we went to that doctor and there was no shot? The very thing that he made himself sick over, and he probably imagined the pain. And you know, when you get a shot, it lasts, the pain lasts seconds, and it's over. You might have a little bit of soreness. And I believe that's what we do in our lives. God showed me when I wrote Living Isaiah 30:18 with his direction that many times we waste valuable time and energy fearing the very things that never come to pass. So today, Father, we lift our lives up to you. We choose to walk in faith and in courage and in God confidence. And Father, we just thank you that you came to banish fear and to banish doubt. And so, God, I thank you that we have your word to lean on and to rely on, that you've promised us that you are with us, that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us. So today, we move forward as your people in faith and in courage and in that confidence that can only come from knowing that you are God, you are holy, and that you are carrying us in the very palm of your hand. We thank you, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, for who you are in our lives. And God, just direct our path today, direct our steps. We know that your word says the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered of the Lord. And when he delights in her way, he busies himself with her every step. That's what it says in the Amplified. So God, I just thank you today. You're busying yourself with my every step, with every step of every person on this call today. So we thank you, Lord. We look forward to the future with great anticipation and joy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now, Wednesday morning, we're going to tackle the issue of doubt. When stepping into the new, with the fear comes the doubt. And you heard me talking a little bit and mentioning the word doubt a few times today. That's because they're like the twins. I believe they're twins. They like hang out together, fear and doubt and unbelief. They're like buddies. So we're going to talk about doubt and unbelief and how to combat that and conquer that on Wednesday morning at 8. So I want to encourage you to invite someone to this call. And in just a few minutes, I'm going to post on Facebook the link to be able to dial in and listen. Share it with a friend that you know is struggling. That's what my heart's desire is to exhort and encourage and edify people that they can do what God's calling them to do, that they can move forward into the new. And so I thank you for sharing this opportunity with others. And I'm so excited about the opportunity to be back with you on Wednesday.